You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our head of international economics. And it's great to hear from you again, Joe.
Hi, Belinda. It's great to be back.
And now you've just published a really interesting paper on the 15th of June titled The Consequences for the US Economy of a Second Wave. What made you think about a second wave of the coronavirus in the US? Are we starting to see a tick up in infections there?
Yeah, we are in certain more populous parts of the US, such as California, Florida, Arizona. We're certainly getting some reasonably large increases in infection rates. And some of those states are at record high levels. So it has sparked a little bit of concern among market participants as well.
So does that mean there's going to be a double dip recession? I guess, you know, markets and economists have kind of moved on to the economic recovery phase post the coronavirus. Does that a tick up in infections start to make you think about a double dip recession?
Look, it's a risk, but I think at this stage at least it's a pretty small risk. A second wave of infections are going to be different to the first wave of infection. And it boils down to governments and our experience in detecting, tracing and treating the illness, whereas 3 or 4 months ago it was all new. Also, governments are better prepared with higher inventories of personal protective equipment and ventilators. The governments have well-tested plans to scale up both medical and non-medical interventions. Governments and people and businesses, they've learnt from their experience in the last 4 or 5 months. So for us, that we think that it means that the economic impact of a second wave are going to be very different to the first wave. In the first wave, governments all around the world more or less shut down their whole economy nationwide. But we think in the second wave, if there is one, we'll get isolated shutdowns. So only very small regions of various economies will be shut down. And they'll be shut down for much smaller periods of time, not the 2 or 3 months that we've seen recently. And we've already seen exactly that in China just in the last couple of days, where parts of Beijing in lockdown rather than the entire country.
It's interesting that we do see quite a strong correlation between the performance of an economy and the degree of lockdown measures. And you've talked in your paper about how Sweden has gone their own way. Can you explain about the Swedish experience and how that's different to some of the other advanced economies that you do cover?
That's right. So Sweden's taken a relatively hands-off approach to containing the spread of the virus. So their lockdowns were generally voluntary. So people did stay home. Some businesses did close. But it was on a much smaller scale than what you got in other advanced economies. And what that meant was that you've got a higher infection rate and death rate in Sweden. And you've also got a much smaller economic impact. So Sweden's economy actually expanded in the first quarter, whereas all the other economies that we covered contracted by various amounts, such as only 0.3% in Australia or more than 2% in places like the UK and Germany. So Sweden has taken a different path when it comes to the infections and also got different economic outcomes as well.
It's interesting then, so when we think about the economic recovery, obviously the second quarter will be the weakest quarter in terms of the economic downturn, and that's certainly what we're expecting here in Australia. And we're expecting, you know, growth to contract close to 9% in the second quarter. Most of that's driven by the lockdowns in April. When we think about how the US economy is recovering, what are some of the main data points that you're watching to look at the recovery, regardless of the second wave and not thinking there's going to be a double dip recession? How is the economy recovering?
Yeah, we think the US economy, the trough in the economy was in April, and you'll see a recovery from May onwards. We're already seeing weekly initial jobless claims. They're comfortably under 2 million people per week. Now, that's still very high, but it did peak at almost 7 million a few months ago. There's also some daily data on consumer spending in the US. That's available up to about a week ago, and that is showing a recovery in consumer spending. There are weekly retail reports as well, and they're also recovering. So it looks like that the US economy is recovering. It's going to be a very slow recovery. You might get an initial burst of activity for a few months as pent-up demand is released. But I think that in terms of the labour market, it's going to be a very long, slow process to full employment.
We did see that the very odd May employment report. So the consensus was for a fall in employment in May in the US, and we did actually see jobs added back in to the US economy. What was your thinking around that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've never seen the consensus get their forecast for non-farm payrolls wrong by several million. But that just goes to show how unusual the current circumstances are. What it boiled down to was this. The jobless claims told us that many people had moved from employed to unemployed, and that's what the consensus was expecting, the big fall in employment. But what we don't have any insights on is how many people moved from unemployed to employed. And that was what really shocked the consensus of US economists. There was quite a large shift from unemployed to employed in the month, and that was several million people. And that just goes to show that when you do remove the lockdown, people do return to their old job.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, we're thinking the same thing in Australia is kind of as fear of the virus goes and as parts of the economy reopen, you will see people come back into the workforce and also secure some of their old jobs back.
But it will be a slow process, and we've seen with the Chinese retail data for the month of May that was released just yesterday, and that is showing quite a great deal of consumer caution, at least amongst Chinese consumers. So China, of course, went into the coronavirus recession first, and they're coming out of it first. But Chinese consumer spending is still about 9% below the recent high point at the start of the year. So consumers are still cautious in China, and that's probably something for us to be cautious about for other countries in terms of the pace of economic recovery.
It sounds like in the latest US Federal Reserve meeting last week that they were still quite cautious on the economic outlook. I mean, their chair, Jay Powell, had some pretty sobering comments about the US economic outlook. What was your take from the latest meeting?
Yeah, that's right. So the meeting just last week, that really gave us some good insights into the Fed's thinking about the economic recovery. They also updated their economic forecast for the first time in 6 months. Now, the Fed expects the US economy to contract by 6.5% this year and expand by only 5% next year. Now, 5% sounds like a great growth number, but it's still not taking you back to where you were at the start of this year. That just goes to show just how deep the US recession was at the start of this year. Only lasted a few months, but it's incredibly deep.
But you can read all of Joe's research on combankresearch.com.au, including the report on the consequences for the US economy of a second wave, and also the daily coronavirus tracker that is published that includes a lot of these different high-frequency data that we're watching, including initial jobless claims, even things like driving directions, mortgage applications on the US economy. Appreciate your insights today, Joe.
No problems, Belinda. Thank you.